Good morning. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry, here with a Sunday morning edition of devotion, encouragement, and prayer. As I spent time with God this morning and nearing the end of this devotional, Here Am I, Discovering a Sacred Calling in the Midst of Everyday Life. Today's topic is on being called to be wanted. I would imagine that most of us have experienced times where we just felt we didn't belong, that our presence wasn't even desired, that we were left out for whatever reason. And many times, not even sure of what the reason was, not even sure of what the so-called qualifications were to be included. But we were on the outside. And if you've ever been there, you probably still remember how that feels. Perhaps you're there now, in a situation where you're present, but you know you just somewhere within yourself don't feel like you belong. And perhaps you know why, and perhaps you don't. But the great news for those who come to Christ is we can be confident that we are wanted by God. The verse, it's fascinating because at first glance, and oftentimes it's kind of used in a narrow sense of God calling the 12 disciples to himself. But in Mark, we read that Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to himself those that he wanted, and they came. And then the next verse says, he appointed 12 to serve as apostles, as those who would go out and teach. And it's, well, if the only ones he called to himself, the only ones who came were the 12, why a special line about appointing 12? You continue reading through Mark and you discover those who came to the mountainside were numerous. And as you read the life of Jesus, you discover, you ought to discover at least, because it's there, that throughout his ministry, he called to himself all who would come. As all who were thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. That call continues to go out today. To all who are thirsty, come. And you can be confident that if you thirst, if you desire to be wanted, God wants you. God wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to know him as your Savior, as your God, as your Lord, as your Father. To know a love that is pure and right and good. You see, sometimes as I write these devotional books and weekly prayer guides, I often tell people, I kind of write, it's the same way I preach. I develop things that come out of my prayer, come out of my time with God. And I share them knowing that if no one else gets anything out of it, it's a message I need to hear. And this call to be wanted is one that I know I need to hear. I need to be reminded consistently that God wants me. Not just that God loves me, and we gather that God so loved the world, he loves people. But God wants me. He's not stuck with me. It's not, oh, well, I guess I have to take him too. Many of us have lived through that rationale. It's not pleasant. But that's not God. God calls us to himself because he wants us. God calls you to himself because he wants you. What an incredible thing. In addition to the devotion this morning on being wanted by God, this morning I also published a prayer guide for this week. I do every week. And today, this week's, I've titled, Keep On Keeping On. And Paul writes, and he talks about this idea of not yet obtaining that to which he's been called, to this heavenly calling, but forgetting what's behind, he presses on, he keeps on, straining forward, reaching out to somehow obtain that goal, that eternal calling in Christ. And I was praying last week, and again, I typically write the prayer guides on the Monday previous to it being published. And so a week ago, I had no idea what the week would look like, how crazy and chaotic it would be, not just because of COVID-19, but because of the anger that's boiling over within our nation. And to be reminded, and it, to me, it was coming out of my prayer time within the midst of the confusion surrounding COVID-19, that as Christians, we're called to keep on keeping on, to remain faithful to God no matter what, to press on because our reward, our goal, our substance of life ought to be something bigger than that's what, than what's defined by any culture. And so many times I think they go hand in hand. We become weary, we become tired, we feel we're not wanted, and we're tempted at least to give up. And many times we give in to that temptation, and instead of pressing on, we stop. And I'm not talking about resting. God calls us to rest. There's times where we need to step back and rest. But stepping back and rest is a part of being able to keep on keeping on. It's a part of being able to continue to do what God has called us to do. Rest was his idea. Reading this past week, a children's devotion that I do as well. And I love the way it worded it. It talked about God did not complete creation in 6 days. He took 7 days. Yes, 6 days was the work of creation, but the seventh day was a specific day of rest from that work. It was a continuation. It was a part of the creation story. I thought, wow. I mean, we read and I hear and I've been brought up with that idea that, you know, God created everything in 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. And it really doesn't change the story. It just helps me to see it differently, that that seventh day was still a part of it. It was a necessary part. And so as I talk about keeping on, as I talk about pressing on toward that high calling that we have in Christ Jesus, know that I'm not talking about running your life 100 miles an hour nonstop with no rest. We're not designed for that. I'm talking about not letting the cares of this world, the desires of our flesh, the trinkets that catch our eyes, to distract us from what we're called to do. But more importantly, to distract us from who we're called to be. See, as we live life in this world, it's so easy to get caught up in the doing and forget all about taking care of the being, of who we really are. So today, as we spend some time with God, I would encourage you to know that God wants you. It's funny, that phrase, every time I use it, and I've come across it as I've gone through the devotion this morning, my mind pictures multiple things. I'm of an age where I mind thinks of the Rocky movie, and I forget which one, but it might be in several of them, where Rocky's opponent is taunting him, and this idea of, I want you. Well, he didn't want him in a good way. He wanted him to beat him in the boxing ring. I think of the old posters that were before my time, of the war recruitment and the military posters of Uncle Sam wanting you. I also think of the wanted posters that, at least stereotypically, I don't know that I've been in a post office to even notice if they're still on the post office walls, but the posters of the most wanted, and people who are wanted not because they're wanted for good reasons, they're wanted because they've committed horrendous crimes. And so in my mind this morning, as I go through that, you know, all of those types of being wanted kind of filtered through my mind. But there's another type of being wanted. It's a type of belonging. It's a type of wholesome desire. It's kind of like my saying, I want ice cream. It's a wanting that God wants us to bring satisfaction to Himself and to bring satisfaction to us. And we discover, I think we discover, as we cling to knowing God wants us for His joy. He wants us for His companionship. He wants us for our good and our benefit. That it helps me to keep on keeping on. It helps me to press on no matter what. We live in a time where confusion seems to reign. And I believe our job as Christians, our job as people, isn't to solve all the problems. We aren't that smart. At least I'm not. Maybe you are. I doubt it. God's the only one that has the ability. And anytime we attempt to solve the world's problems on our own, we're going to fail. And I don't care who you are. It's by going to God in surrender and submission that we realize that I don't even have the power to solve my own problems. And in the light of the confusion being just wreaking havoc upon our nation. I'm sure there's reasons I don't even understand. The COVID-19 restrictions, I'm confident, haven't helped. Anger that's lived under the surface for a long time. An enemy, a schemer that is good at what he does. And an act of injustice kind of comes together and creates this perfect storm type of thing. And the only thing that I can do, at least that God's made known to me at this point, is to pray. It's to love people, it's to share Jesus. To weep at the destruction that's being caused. To weep with those who mourn, who have been mourning because of a lack of justice, a lack of things being made right. From all backgrounds, from all races, from all circumstances. You see, we live in a time where life is not often valued. And it makes us angry when it's someone else not valuing life. But we don't seem to mind all that much if it's us not valuing the life of someone else. But we sure get upset when people aren't valuing our life. When people aren't valuing the lives of those that are important to us. The remedy is to turn to God and recognize his value of all life. That each person on this earth has been created in his image. Regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the size of their bank account, regardless of their address or lack of address, they are wanted by God to be his child, to be loved by him, to accept that love from him. They are wanted by God to be loved by you and I. That each one of us would not only know the love of God, but we would give the love of God. I don't know what God calls you to do specifically. I know he's called all of us to pray. To pray for our leaders, to pray for our enemies, to pray for our friends, to pray for those who treat us well, to pray for those who spitefully misuse us. Probably a King James term that as I grew up memorizing scripture in King James and then in NIV, and so they kind of get mixed in my mind some. That's okay. But he calls us to pray. To pray from a heart of love. You know, I think of Jesus and disciples walking along in a town that won't accept them, and you know, the disciples, you know, they're kind of put out. It says, wait, we're with Jesus. We're disciples. You know, we ought to be accepted everywhere. We ought to have people love us and accept us and bring us in and invite us and treat us well. And this city didn't. We've got Jesus with us. How about we just call down fire upon the city and destroy it? Sound familiar? We live at a time where people are angry. They feel that they've not been accepted, they've not been heard, they've not been listened to, and in essence, they're not really calling out to God. They're simply saying, why don't we just call down fire upon the city and destroy it? That wasn't agreeable with Jesus. In fact, he rebukes the disciples. He says, yeah, that, in a sense, he says, that's crazy talk. Those are people I love. Most people who have grown up in the church or have at least familiarity with Scripture have at least some idea of Jonah and the story of Jonah. I mean, children know the story of Jonah of being swallowed by this great fish. But I think sometimes because it's such a popular and familiar children's story, we kind of leave it there in the children's classroom. And we forget the last couple chapters of Jonah. You know, after Jonah was vomited up by the fish onto dry land and finishes going to Nineveh like God had wanted him to begin with, he preaches the message of destruction and anger of God and calling the nation to repentance. Yeah, if you don't repent, God is going to destroy everything. And as you read the backstory on Jonah and his rationale for running away and all of this, I can almost hear him preaching this message with such glee, with such gladness that finally they were going to get what they deserved. But something happened. Something completely unexpected by Jonah. Well, not completely unexpected. The people repent. They are sorrowful for their sin and their wickedness, and they turn to God, and God relents and holds off his judgment. And Jonah, he's thrilled that God would save these people. Not. Jonah is mad. He goes to God, I knew it. That's why I didn't want to come in the first place. I knew that if these people would repent, that you would be loving and forgiving. And the unspoken part, he didn't want that to happen. And how often have we failed to take the message of repentance because we're afraid people just might do it? You see, as we keep on keeping on, as we realize that we are wanted by God, whoever in your mind is classified as an enemy, well, you may not use that word because it doesn't sound nice, but we have enemies. People we don't like, people we would just as soon receive God's punishment as not. They're wanted by God, to be loved by God, because they are loved by God. So today as we pray, I would encourage you to spend time examining yourself, asking God if you want people to know him as much as He wants people to know Him. Spend time with God being comfortable with knowing He wants you as His. And pray that you would be an instrument of peace. An instrument that helps people to see the goodness of God in the midst of very confusing times. Pray that you would be one who would keep on keeping on, pressing on toward that high calling that we each have in Christ Jesus. Would you spend some time this morning praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that has called us to Yourself. Not out of obligation, not out of some sense of duty, but out of desire. Because You want us. Father, for myself, for each person hearing this message this morning, whenever they listen to it, may You fill them with an incredible awareness of being wanted, belonging, accepted, loved by You. And Father, today as we look within ourselves, help us to be better representatives of Jesus, to share that message of acceptance to others. To realize that being wanted by You, being accepted by You, is not based on our goodness or our righteousness, because we don't have any. But it's based upon Your goodness, Your righteousness, Your mercy, Your love. A love so great that You have called us to Yourself. A love so great that You transform us into a new creation. When we accept that calling, when we come to You to be embraced in Your open arms. You clothe us with Your righteousness, the righteousness that comes from Jesus. Father, for those today who feel unwanted, who feel unloved, who feel like outcast in the midst of life, I pray that they would not only know how much they're wanted and loved by You, but that You would open our eyes to the rest of us to see how we can be the arms of Jesus that embrace them, that help them to know their value, to help them to see how much they're loved and desired and wanted. Father, today as we consider the effects of COVID-19 and people continuing to become sick and dying, and confusion continuing to reign in the midst of the information that's shared about it. I pray that You would wipe this virus from the face of the earth. That it would be gone and You would be the only one that people could point to, because any other reason would not make sense. Father, today may you protect us from the hurt, from the anger, from the bitterness. That is spread across our country. Father, may we be people who seek true justice, who stand up for the oppressed, who share good news of the gospel of Jesus with the poor, with the hurting, with the lonely. May we call people to repentance, not out of a sense of judgment because we're in the same situation as they are, but a repentance that brings a transformation in each one of us. Father, it's so easy to become comfortable and complacent with life as routinely as we can make it. And to close our eyes, to close our ears to the hurting and the cries of the oppressed. And there are so many instruments of hurt, pain, and oppression within our culture. Oh, it's easy to see today, to hear today. The elements of injustice that racism brings about. But it's not the only injustice that people across this land feel, experience, and know. Father, give us wisdom in knowing how to make things right to the best of our ability with your help. And also give us wisdom to know when things aren't our responsibility. To stand and to speak with those that are hurting, but also to realize that the sins of others are not on our head. To remove the guilt that wants to be put upon us for something others did. Father, today as we look to Jesus, may we examine ourselves that we would know that we would confess to you any of the sins that we have harbored. Sins of prejudice, sins of greed, sins of pride, sins of lust, sins of whatever it is. May we be open about those with you. May you cleanse us from all unrighteousness as you've promised you're capable of doing through the blood of Jesus. that cleansing free us to be able to share that with others. Father, today I ask that you would protect our children. Protect them emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, physically, mentally. Give us wisdom as parents, as adults, to be mindful of what our children are exposed to and how we're teaching them and how we're using the events of our day to help them know you better. Father, may we worship together from wherever we are. If we're able to gather with others this morning, then may we rejoice together in being able to do so. Whether that's in a church building, whether that's in a home, whether that's in a park or outdoor area, whether it's just with our own family. May we be confident that however large or small that group is, that we are truly gathering together with believers around the world that are praising and honoring and worshiping you. And Father, as we do so, may we call out to you to hear our cries, to heal our land, to convict us so that we would humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And Father, may we look within ourselves first, deal with that plank in our own eye before we start calling our neighbors and brothers and sisters to repentance. May we take care of ourselves through the blood of Jesus as we share him with others. And may we live life today knowing that you want us because you love us. May Jesus be lifted up in all that we say and do, that he would draw many to himself. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning edition, devotion, encouragement, and prayer time. I do pray that you are richly blessed by God today, that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.